time to recap McCook's School Board of Education meeting from last night, the July meeting, Superintendent of Schools, Grant Norgaard. How you doing?
Doing well, Rich. Thank you very much.
He's got the all green shirt on today.
Got green going on.
Yeah. Heck of a deal. Heck of a deal. Well, here we were just talking before we went on that. It's got about a month, a little over a month before school starts.
Yeah, the students have a little start on the 14th. Teachers the 12th, it looks like, so of August. And so it's coming up. And it's too far into the future, but I know a lot of people probably still have some vacation plans mm-hmm. they need to get in. And so, but it's coming not too far away, I guess. Not too far away.
Summer has been a blur, I think. I think it's been a really fast summer.
It's dragging on. Dragging on, Rich. It's just seems like it won't end. But that's all right. We're going to get there.
For you,
there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
For you, every summer, you have that. Just come on. Let's get to the start of school.
Yeah, it's time to roll.
Of course, his kids are out of school now, but they're going, Dad, shut up. Do not say a word. Let's get to the meeting from last night, the Junior High Conference Room. We'll start first. We're going Opens Meeting Act.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, what we had the other day was some hearings. And so we had a student fees policy hearing. We had student attendance policy hearing. We had a parental involvement policy hearing. And we had an anti-bullying policy hearing. And so what that is an opportunity for folks to come in and to speak to the board. Also, it's an opportunity for myself to speak to each of these policies and for other board members to talk about them. And so while we didn't have any public comments from the visitors that we had last night, we did visit a little bit about each of those policies. And we're going through a real policy overhaul this last year. And so several of these policies were actually approved late. The new version of them, we've always had these, but the new version of them was approved later in the regular meeting. We approved those. And then I believe it's the bullying policy will be approved at the August board meeting. So I wanted to get some feedback and have a chance to discuss with the whole board, and then moved on to then once that was over, we adjourned and moved on to the regular meeting.
All right, we'll get to that regular meeting. And or do you have anything else from the one?
You know, it's just from those policies, you know, they just are important policies mm-hmm. that the state has separated out as being required to have separate hearings and an annual analysis. And so that's kind of why it's not like those are our favorite policies. There's a state statute that says we need to either reapprove or review those on an annual basis, one or the other. And so that's why that's separated out. And we have a few more that will come up later in the year. But again, that's because of state statute.
Let's get to the regular meeting from last night. We'll start first. Reports, communications, public participation.
Did not have any public participation, but we did have a presentation that was put on by each of our building principals. So we started off those presentations with Mr. Borland at McCook Elementary School. Each of the presentations focused on what each building is doing to prepare kids for career and college readiness. And so we start with Mr. Borland. He's working with our elementary students, pre-K through third grade. At that point in time, we're really just talking about he talked about how we expose kids to some businesses. We bring in business leaders to visit with different classes and to talk about occupations. But a lot of what they do at that level is to build skill sets up, to talk about work ethic, to talk about citizenship, and to teach kids how to read and write and do mathematics and to think through problems. And so it's very basic at that level. But again, we're talking about our youngest kids in the community. And so he did a really nice job presenting. He talked about a little bit about our extended classroom day program. They go out and visit. They're looking at going out and visiting different programs within the community. They talked about the different bank groups that come in and visit. We have, I know we had some folks from the power company come in and linemen come in and talk about their careers. We've had health professionals come talk about their careers. So they are exposed, but it's at a very young, it's very appropriate for young age kids. Then Mr. Bednar talked about the things that they do at Central. Again, we're talking about fourth and fifth graders, so we're talking about young folks still. But there's a little bit more discussion about potential career thoughts, what are the things you like to do, what are you interested in? lots of exposure again to the community, and it's a little bit broader. So you're going to, once you get to the central elementary school, it's going to be a little bit broader. And then when you move to the junior high with Mr. Lyons's group, it gets much more broad. We start actually doing career interest inventories. We start, we do some experiential, what's it like to work, live within a budget. What are some jobs that'll help you fund your budgets? We do the business tours at that time as well. So sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, we take tours every year of the local businesses within the community. I know eighth grade, it's even more intense with that, with the business tours. The egg tours pick up in the eighth grade as well. So, and then when we get to the high school, and Mr. Dickus has the most, right? And every year, it seems like we add something new to what we're doing at the high school. The career and college readiness preparation at the high school has come a long, long way in the last, I'm starting my 16th year in the last 16 years. And so our exposure to careers, our in-depth engagement with career development, our career pathways at the high school have really developed over time. And so we've talked about that on the radio in the past, but some of the new things, one of the really big new items that we're or changes we're bringing for next year, we actually have a person that is going to be on staff next year, funded by the United Way. It's called the JEG program, and this person's going to be a member of our staff, but their total focus as a teacher with the staff or with our kids is career integration. So talking to kids about careers, talking to kids about how to prepare for careers, talking to kids how to do resumes, what the expectations of a career are. They're going to introduce these kids to businesses within the community, and they're going to act as a liaison to those businesses to get kids exposure to jobs. And that's what this individual's full purpose is going to be. And I know several other school districts in the area have started this same program, and we're really excited, we're really thankful to the United Way for funding it. Actually, it's a state-funded program. Governor Pillen has been very supportive of this program, and actually he made an increase in the amount of dollars going to the program this last year. And the folks at the United Way knew we wanted to get in, and it opened up a slot from a cook. So we feel real fortunate we grabbed that last spot and were able to get in on this program. And so really excited about that. But that's not to say we don't do many, many other things at the high school from our different programs. We're doing more with construction. We're doing more with business. We're doing more in video. I don't even know all the things. We do about broadcasting, all those types of things. We're doing more than we've ever done before. And we do connecting the dots, experiences for kids. I invited the board members to come and visit on that day when we do that. It really has kids get engaged with expectations that different jobs have, especially when it comes to education. So some kids, and I help with that program on an annual basis, and one of the things I learn is kids really don't know what the educational expectations are for a lot of careers that are out there, and that for some jobs you actually do need a college degree, or you might need a master's degree, you might need an associate's degree. So helping kids understand if that's what they want to do, hey, I'm really interested in becoming an electrician, well, this is the process that you have to go through, and exposing the kids to that process and having them kind of work through it. So it was a really good report. The board was very thankful to the principals for presenting, and it just showed that we've come a long way in the last decade for sure.
Anything else in reports communication?
That's it. That's all we have.
Any public board comments?
No board comments last night.
Presentation and that career and college readiness, but that was it right there.
Yeah, I jumped ahead, didn't I?
That's okay. Consent agenda, minutes, financials. We'll go to reports from staff members and committees.
Yeah, the only committee meeting that we had this last month was our policy committee, and they've been working really, really hard over the last several months, working on overhauling our policies and really taking a deep dive into them. We're reorganizing them, renumbering them, and making sure that we don't have any gaps in our policies. So it's very tedious work. And so when we have a policy committee meeting, it's about 3 hours long, and it's working the whole time. There's not a lot of messing around or chit-chat. We're really focused on those policies, and that's prior to the prep work that it takes to get ready for the policy committee, meaning you've read through all those policies, you've written down your notes and your thoughts, and then you're coming into that meeting and we're going through them again and then having a discussion. It's a lot of work. This last month, we were looking at our policies that concerned the board directly, board governance and bylaws, those types are the practices of the board. And the other one that we looked at was our policies concerning students. And this was quite a few policies that we had to go through. These are the policies that govern student attendance, several of the hearings that we had that I talked about, student attendance, student fees, student behavior. We talked about the cell phone policy last month. That was actually a 5,000s policy. And so we just looking through all of those policies and making sure that they fit McCook. And then they also met the letter of the law, the expectations that state statute has put out for us. So just reported on that. All the bylaws have to do with, the election of presidents, when we meet. A lot of policies there just with the technical aspects of how the board operates in their official capacity. And so that was the policy. That's basically the policy committee report. And so they gave the report on the 4,000, the 5,000s, which are the students, and the 8,000s, which are the board actions. And then I had a report. Mm-hmm. I went on to talk about we have an area membership meeting coming up in August, on August 20th. Wanted to give them an early heads up on that event. It's something that we really like to try to get all our board members to attend if they're able to. They're exposed to the changes that really have occurred that are going to be impacting the upcoming school year. So it's a little bit after school starts, but it's really early in the year. So it still gives board members an opportunity to be prepared for any of the legislative changes that have taken place, how that's going to impact their roles as board members, laws that are probably going to be discussed and legislation is going to be discussed in the upcoming year, and just changes in education and networking opportunities for board members. We also talked about – I visited with the board about lunch price increases. That's an action item later on in our agenda. We do this every year, but I think it's important to explain that we raise our prices by about 10 cents every year on our lunches. And the reason for that is because the federal government basically has given us direction to do that. Before I was even in McCook, we were given direction by the federal government the federal foods program to raise our lunch prices. We didn't have to exceed 10 cents, but we had to do that until we met the federal expectations for school lunches. And we've not met that yet, but it might be something we never meet because they raise them every year. So if we're behind, and they're constantly moving forward, it's going to be a long time before we really catch the federal expectation for our food lunch prices, our school lunch prices. But we do meet their expectations by raising that by 10 cents. And one of the reasons why we do that, why do we want to meet that federal price? Because if we don't take this action, we lose the reimbursement we receive for students who qualify for free and reduced lunches. And so it's really important that we maintain that. Our students' free and reduced lunch percentages have actually increased over the last decade. And so we have more and more students who need that discount or free lunch. And so we want to make sure that we comply with what the directions are from the federal foods program so that we continue to qualify for that reimbursement. The other piece that I shared with is we have the administrators, myself, Mr. Gross, putting together an early retirement incentive for teaching staff. Now, it sounds a little bit like I'm trying to get people to retire. That's not actually it. we have a fund. We've had it for a long time. It used to be, until statute changed the laws, that you could levy and put pennies into an early incentive retirement fund where when we had a lot of teachers, might be cheaper actually in the long run to give a payout to a teacher that is very expensive to hire a teacher that's inexpensive to bring them into the classroom. So that's why that was done years ago. That sunsetted about, 10, 12 years ago. But there was money in that account. And you can't do anything with that money except do early retirement incentive. Well, at this point in time, we really don't want folks to retire because there's a teacher shortage. And so we want to keep as many teachers as we can on staff. But we do know teachers are still going to retire. We had teachers retire this year. We had teachers leave us this year. And it came pretty late in the school year. And so what we want to do is incentivize those folks who've already decided to retire to notify us as early as possible. And so we have an incentive here where if you notify us in October or November or December, we're going to incentivize that with a stipend compensation so that gives us time to find a high-quality teacher. And you'd think, well, gee, that's really early. That is really early. But I think the community needs to understand that, like, the University of Nebraska-Kearney is doing their teacher fair in September. So this is even after the first fairs. Kids are being hired and before they even do their student teaching experiences. That's how difficult it is right now to find teachers coming out of the colleges. So I believe, you know, we've taken a lot of actions in the last several years that have really paid off for us. I think this is another one of those situations where this could really pay off for McCook and McCook students by incentivizing those folks that have decided this is the year they want to retire to tell us early in the year. We compensate them for that, and then it gives us time to go out and find a great person to bring in a McCook to teach our kids. And so that's the purpose of this, and we have this fund sitting there. It's got too much money in it just to sit there, and so we look at this as a way to spend those dollars that we can't use, like I said, can't use it for any other purpose, and to help us find quality teachers to bring in a McCook and work with our kids. And then I shared with the Board of Education also the school calendar correction. When we put the school calendar in front of the board, they approved a board, and I'd made a mistake. I had missed a day, and I think I know why I missed a day. There were more days in February, but I took that to the board, and I made a recommendation that we add a day to the end of the school year for in-service for staff. And so, or we could have added a student day. The way that the calendar is set up for this upcoming school year, it was very difficult to add just a regular school day. You could bring people back in earlier than we had put on the original calendar, but then you have staff coming in a week earlier. If you put it at the end of the year, you're extending it out for a couple days into the next week in May. So we just felt the best thing to do was to add a staff in-service day in May. If we run into a lot of snow days, you know, that could end up being a student day, but that could end up being a student day anyway if we run into a lot of snow days. So I think this was and later on this is an agenda item, but basically that's what we're going to do is we're going to have the teacher's last day be on the 20th of May, which is the Monday following the week after school is released. And that's going to – it's either going to be an in-service day or a work day on that day. And then that Friday will be either the work day or the in-service day. We haven't made that decision yet. But that was the easiest way to address this calendar and make sure that we had the total number of contracted days for staff. And part of my hope is that we're able to, at that time of year, maybe there's something that we can do that is outside the norm. You know, so it can get a little tricky finding people at the beginning of the school year. Maybe this opens up some doors for us. I can't guarantee that yet because we just approved that calendar change last night. But we're going to be looking to see if we can find a training or an in-service that's going to be beneficial to our folks and that we might not be able to provide at the beginning of the school year, which is when we traditionally bring in folks to train our teachers. And so that, that was approved later on in the agenda, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But just an odd calendar and unfortunate that happened, but it went well. The board made a good decision. And then the Faraday bag test I brought in last month, we passed a policy saying students aren't going to have their cell phones on them when they're walking around school. If they do bring it into the building, which is You know, they are perfectly okay to leave your cell phone in your car and you don't have to deal with it. But if you do bring it into the building during the school day, except lunch, you have to have it in a signal blocking bag or a Faraday bag. And so I brought some samples to the board last night of the ones that we'd purchased for students that we'll be probably disseminating during registration time. And we had the board members put their phones in them, and we tested them out. And I was a little bit nervous because, like, sometimes, like, when I sampled a bunch of when we were doing this, well, I don't know, during the school year still, I think, Some of them fail, you know, and so we didn't order those, obviously. So I was like, this is a great way to test it out. And they all worked, and no one was able to get a phone call or a text. But once you take your phone out of the Faraday bag, the texts would, in the next minute or 2 or 3 minutes, that text would come through. So it's sitting there waiting for your phone to get reconnected or reestablished to the tower. And so that's going to come through anyway. If you get when we make phone calls, it just goes right to your voicemail right away. So they worked, and that was good to see that none of them failed.
It's going to be interesting that first week of school, how this goes. Kids getting used to it.
Yeah, I think that it's going to take some getting used to. And this is, I've talked to our administration, and they are ready to go to war over it. They're ready to battle. And so kids can, if some kids feel rebellious, they're going to lose. I mean, you know, you can tell, maybe I should encourage the kids to test the administration. No, they probably wouldn't appreciate that. They're ready to do what they need to do to get this policy to be implemented. And they're fully prepared that it's not going to go super smooth right away. It's going to take some time. But hopefully when we get a couple months in, kids realize I'd rather just have my phone on me and not fight this battle and make my parents go in and get my phone and serve detention and all that other business. It's just not worth it. You can take your phone out at lunch, get all your messages and put it back in and just have a good day and learn to talk to your neighbors.
There you go. That's exactly right. Yes.
And so that is all of my report. Then we had Mr. Gross's report. Mm-hmm. And so in June, you want to say 85,000 meals between lunch and breakfast in the month of June. That's just crazy. And, of course, those numbers are boosted by our summer school program, which is a great program. But that's a lot of meals, so a lot of kids served. Talked a little bit about where we're on par with our budget. Receipts and expenditures are on right where they're supposed to be. He talked a little bit about at the end of the year, there's the possibility, depending on how receipts come in and depending on how expenditures come in, we could be a little bit above our budget. You know, could maybe you're $100,000 over your budget with excess, or, you know, $100,000 below. So we're really, you know, in the red. So we're really kind of on budget. It's just going to depend on how, like I said, receipts and come in and expenditures go out. So we're pretty much nailed it on where we wanted to be for this school year on expenditures and based off of our income. Have HVAC projects still going underway across the district. I feel like that just should be on our agenda monthly. There's always HVAC issues we're working through. You know, we had some units freeze up this last winter in the high school, getting those replaced. You know, with that, we had that terrible wind and really, really low temperatures, and they have to have these vent flaps that open by law. And so cold air got in there and broke some, froze some copper coils. We have to replace all that. And copper is amazingly expensive. Bond project, still working on the numbers with the contractors and with the designers. And so that's still all work in progress. We're just still not comfortable with the prices, and so we're trying to figure out how to get that closer to where we really want it to be. And so it's been a long process. You know, we wanted to approve this in May, and April actually, then May, and then now we're just like, well, we're going to try it in August, and hopefully we get those prices down and we feel comfortable with it so we can move forward. But we're still working on it, and we have some marketing meetings coming up, and we're excited about that, and it's definitely a project we need to do. We just hope we can, you know, find a way to bring those prices down, that cost down. We have submitted our information for federal reimbursement on special education, and budget season is upon us. So Mr. Gross is going to be overwhelmed with budget numbers and preparing the budget. Now, actually, we're quite a ways into budgeting, but we don't really have our real numbers for our budget until August 20th when we get our valuations. And so we have a lot of work ahead of us, and Mr. Gross is going to be the focal point of that work. But we're in a good spot for when those numbers come in, plugging it in and working through it, and then meeting with the board members and discussing that with them. And that would be the business manager's report.
Then to new business, and now you get a chance to approve a lot of the things you just talked about.
Yeah, right? I did. I talked about the calendar, and that's what the first thing there was the lunch prices, and the lunch prices were adjusted by 10 cents. and that went that was approved. We actually had an interlocal agreement committee membership action item, putting myself, Mr. Gross, and Mr. McPherson on a committee that's working with the city for in the area of parks. I know this committee was created because the city wanted to get some grant dollars for the purpose of building ballparks and those type and working on their park structure. And they wanted to be eligible for them, but they needed this committee, and so they needed us to be part of it. And so we're absolutely we'll help the city in any way we can. And so we approved that last night. And then we had the 5,000s package, policy package. This was focused on students. We talked about this a little bit during policy committee report. And so in that, you'll see all that we approved those 5,000s and then all the policies that those policies replace. And so it gets a little tedious reading through all those numbers in a board meeting, so you can see all of our old numbers. And one of my comments last night was, well, with the new 5,000s policy and our new numbering system, it's not so archaic with the numbers that we had in our old policy manuals. One of the things that also we approved last night was policy 1501, which is an emergency exclusion policy from persons from school. This wasn't approved with our 1,000s because it was dependent upon a 5,000s policy being approved. So that since that was approved in the last motion item, then it enabled us to approve the policy number 1501. That was followed by the approval of policy package 8,000s, and this has to do with internal board policies and just kind of how they work and their governances. And so that was approved as well last night. And then they talked about an approved contract for the superintendent and salary package. And so that was discussed, 4.5% on compensation, and a contract was approved. So they are going to keep me around for a little while longer. And I really appreciate that. It's a wonderful place to be, a wonderful community. Mm-hmm. We have a great school system, and appreciate the board's work. I know that's a lot of – I appreciate the time and energy they put into that process because they have to do – well, it's like going through teacher negotiations. I don't necessarily sit down on the other side of the table with them, but they have to do a study of different school districts and what their superintendent compensation packages are. And based off of that, they have to find a place where they feel you're comfortable within that array. And so that's kind of how that process works out. It's a comparability analysis, like we do basically all of our pay, even to a certain extent with our classified staff. Now, right now with classified staff, which are paras and secretaries, we need to get them to the minimum wage levels. So we kind of know what we need to do there. But once we hit that, then we're gonna have to get more into the array analysis with our classified staff. But for everything else, principals, directors, superintendent, teachers, it's all based on an array. And then approve the update to the 24-25 school calendar. That's an extra day, or putting back in a day that was missing from the calendar for teacher work day and our in-service day, I should say, at the end of May. So, yeah, I apologize to the teachers out there that I missed that in the original calendar. but that'll be in there. We'll make that adjustment so we can make sure we meet our contract expectations.
What are positive comments?
Yeah, we had some great comments last night from folks. Teresa talked about Mr. Hansen doing a training with paraprofessionals from our staff and other paras as well on mental health and mental wellness because our paras work directly with their kids, so they really have an opportunity to engage with kids and have a great opportunity to assess students' mental health and awareness. And he does a training on that to help them be prepared to deal with those issues and recognize them. Charlie wanted to talk about thank the school for providing buses for the Chamber Bash on the Hill event, and it was a big event, lots of folks, and it really made a difference to be able to for us as a school district to partner with a community entity for a real positive event in the community. So he wanted to thank the school for that. Mike talked about all the improvements that he sees around the district. Our tennis courts are being resurfaced right now, and hopefully at the end of next week, we'll have a brand new tennis surface. It'll be good for 10 to 13 years. It's super expensive, so I'm hoping 15 years. Mm-hmm. Somehow it makes it longer. But it's quite a process. They've been down there for a long time. They grind off that surface with these diamond grinders, and they vacuum it all up. They got some other crazy machine down there today, but that surface is really important for quality play and having a quality facility. And so really looking forward to that being finished here in the next few days. And then also commented on our summer wrestling club getting third out of 30 at an event this summer and doing a great job there. Tom talked about the contractual changes and credits for staff and all these things that they've done through negotiations that have made a difference for our recruiting and retention. He had folks from the community come up to him and say, you know, when I talk about credits, I'm talking about college credits and how we accept college credits. We've done more to try to encourage staff to stay here, to be part of our – we do appreciate them. We want them to be teaching McCook. And so it used to be we had limits on how many credits you could get in a year. We've taken those off. So if you get 18 credits, we're going to give you a credit for all those. You don't have to wait 2 years to get your 18. So those things do make a difference and encourage staff to stay. And that is the reality. Those adjustments have been made because we do want them to be in McCook and working with our kids. Scott appreciated the work that had been done this summer to keep everything looking nice around the school district. And also thanked all of the work that our principals do for career and college readiness. Brad thanked the board members for cooperating with him and through the superintendent contract and salary process. There was a lot of – he had to contact each of those folks independently and those types of things and have conversations with them. Dr. Caitlin Haig. Well, we also wanted to recognize Dr. Caitlin Haig, Jeff Blomstead, Dean Coate, and Lindsay White for helping kids with dental issues. He thought that was really important. And then he wanted to thank me for work. He received a letter from Dr. Mahar, who's the Commissioner of Education. I'm a member of his Superintendent's Advisory Council, and he sent a letter to Brad, Mr. Hayes, thanking me for the work that I have done with them and them allowing me to participate in that. Jeff talked about OPA and all 29,085 lunches served so far this, I think, July. And they have a short they don't always have a full staff because a lot of the folks that work in our food services want the summers off. But they've done a great job. It's been a lot of work. And then also thanked 8 individuals from the school system that helped to sell fireworks for the Optimist Club. The Optimist Club, if folks don't know, they put their resources into kids or in community. And almost always has a kids direct focus. It always has a community focus. But I'm not sure they do anything where they don't impact the quality of life for our kids. And so he really appreciates that. And then I wanted to thank the policy committee for their tireless work. We got one more month of lots of reading, lots of editing and rewriting, and a long meeting coming up. But after that, hopefully the meetings get a little bit shorter because then it's just going to be going through policies that we're not replacing. Mm-hmm. So.
The gym. Gym is – how's that going?
I should probably have talked about the gym. The gym is going well. The folks were – you know, we had an issue when they did the initial painting of not getting the MC on it. I think they were there either yesterday afternoon or they're going to be there today painting that MC in the middle of the floor. It's caused some problems with our camps and things like that. So it would have been nice to have had that all knocked out by now. But, you know, these are the things that happen. So hopefully that's done and we're able to get on that floor next week.
Terrific. That's good. You bet. Finally, get your take. The governor was in town. Lots to discuss involving schools as well.
Yeah, a lot. You know, his plan for property tax reduction, it does really focus on schools. Schools are the largest requester of property tax dollars. And so he would like to basically take that down to zero, I think, is kind of, except for, you know, you're going to have your bonds or your levy override type things. But I can't tell you what the ins and outs of that look like. It's interesting to me. I would love to see something come out of all of this that does reduce property taxes for our community. You know, we are an equalized school district, and we get And when you're equalized, it generally means your property taxes are higher because you don't have enough money off your property valuations to fund all of your operations. And so, I'd like to see something happen that could help us bring down those property tax dollars. That's just where I sit, and I'm hopeful.
Yeah, next this special session again. Yes. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it will be. We'll see what happens. I'm very skeptical. I've been watching this for 30 years. I've been intimately involved with it for 20. And like I said to you off the air a little bit ago, I hear a lot of people talk a lot about reducing property tax from the state legislators, but I see very little action. So anyway,
going to be interesting to watch.
Yep, it will be.
Next meeting for the month of August, August 12th. Is that right?
Yes, August 12th is correct.
Second to Monday, and
yeah,
be right as school gets going.
We're ready to roll. We can start it early, maybe.
Exactly right. You bet. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.